It's 13 minutes past 3 o'clock, and as mentioned, we're going to be in conversation with not only Jack Abrams of the Democratic Alliance, but the lovely Tammy Colley is going to be joining us as well. And I was unaware, so forgive me, Tammy, that I hadn't pre-announced that you'd be here, because I'm sure that if I had, there would be much more action on the listener side of the radio, but I'm sure there's going to be lots anyway. Because, as you know, these interviews go up as podcasts and then get circulated, and it accumulates huge amount of traction. So it's going to be a good conversation with Penny Faree in as my wing. I used to say wingman, but I can't.
I'm your
say
wingman, it. Dave.
Yeah, wingman. Yes. Okay, cool. This is good because Penny's got a very good overview of the political scene locally, and we want to find out a few things about this election. I think it's a very important election. And I think it's a very important election because it kind of is a litmus test of what the nation is thinking. Politically, I think we've never been in a more uncertain arena. I think the ruling party has had a long opportunity to stuff things up, and they've done it royally. So there is now obviously going to be a huge amount of interest in what comes next. Are they able to then somehow, by hook or by crook, patch up the damage quickly just in time for a local election, or is it time for new brooms sweeping clean? But in this case, of course, the Ward 30 and 6, both of you, Ward 30 is a new ward, but it replaces Ward 28, both of which are traditionally Democratic Alliance strongholds. Now, there is a newcomer in the game, in the sense that the Action SA has arrived with the green machine rolling, and they're very active. The DA's response to this is, we're the party that gets things done. And I want to ask you off the bat, what has the DA got things? What has the DA got done in Ward 30 is brand new, so let's just call it Ward 28/30 for now, and Ward 6 over the past 4 years. Tammy, Ward 6, because ladies first.
Well, thank you very much, Dave, and thanks again for giving us this opportunity to chat on your radio show. It is always so important for people to know what's going on. So off the bat, obviously, currently as we stand politically, we are in an ANC-run municipality. Nobody can take that away from it. But as far as, I'm not going to speak for, and it's just a correction, it was a previous Ward 21 that Ward 30 is part of.
Oh, 21, yes. Not 28. I beg your pardon. Thank you for correcting
that.
Yeah,
28 is Chaka's Crawl.
Okay.
So what we have done over the past 4 years, well, it's nearly 5 years, certainly in Ward 6, we've managed to get a number of road projects done. We did the resurfacing of Ocean Drive, a portion of Leonora Drive. We've also been fairly vocal in council when it came to the selling of public open space, and we will continue to be so. We've kept our eye on that situation, and we are monitoring it to make sure that no wool gets pulled over anybody's eyes going forward.
Okay.
So that is a couple of things that we've done, and obviously going, I don't want to speak about what's happening in Ward 22, but we've also had a number of road projects done there. We've had also a few different ablution upgrades along our coastline, and as we know, our coastline is one of the major attractions to us. So if you're going down to the beach, you certainly don't want to be going to dodgy toilets.
Yeah.
So although these projects have been done in conjunction with private developers, it's still wonderful to see that Ballito is still the hotspot for, I don't want to say for COVID, but for tourists to come.
Yeah, look, sorry, Penny wants to come in there.
I know the DA launched their manifesto this weekend, and obviously now all the parties have put their manifesto out. And just for those, for some clarity, an election manifesto is essentially a list of policies that a political party says it will enact if it's voted into office, and it forms the basis of its campaign. So all the parties at the moment, the hot buttons are service delivery, electricity, and housing. They have touched on it. I haven't... Action SA have been quite strong with corruption. The ANC has said that it will root it out, and they've already started on that path. And the EFF have said that they're going to put an anti-corruption unit in every ward, which is very ambitious. Action SA said that they're going to have an anti-corruption unit in each municipality that will obviously be independent from any government, and it will be able to monitor. I mean, that's been a huge issue in our municipalities. A lot of irregular expenditure that has not been accountable. What is the DA stance on corruption? And do you feel, as the opposition party, that you have had some effectiveness in trying to curb it or keep it in line?
Thanks, Penny. I'm guessing I'm getting thrown in the deep end there. Obviously, the party has got an absolute zero tolerance to corruption, and that is definitely something that goes across all local government as well as provincial and national government. Being in the opposition, what we've done is we've monitored and built relationships with certain officials so that if there is any form of corruption, we can be made aware of it and pass on the information to our provincial structures. I can't give you an example of anything that has actually been 100% resolved, but that's what we are doing currently.
Yeah. I know with Action SA, you know, Herman Mashaba, when he was in Joburg as mayor, he set up an anti-corruption unit. The guy he brought in was an ex-Scorpion, and in that time, there was 35 billion rand that was bought in, you know, over 7,000 cases, and I know there were a number of arrests that happened. So, you know, I know a lot of, on the campaign trail, all the parties talk a lot of platitude, you know, and obviously now with local elections, it's all about service delivery, and councillors are accountable. They are the voices of the community. They take the issues of the community and put it into council, and they represent the people. And while these platitudes are all great, if there is no clear black and white plan to put an end to corrupt individuals, then how on earth are we going to have another term where we're going to actually put a stop in it? Because in the last 5 years, and I mean five terms now, there has been irregular expenditure in every single auditor's report. And every year there has been no recourse on the individuals who have been flagged by the auditor. So, you know, I want to hear what if there is a black and white plan, because the councillors and the council has been flagged for irregular expenditure. Don't you think that's like that's something important, you know, for a town to move forward, where money that is supposed to be going into infrastructure and development gets put into those places?
Absolutely. It's definitely something that one of the points in our manifesto, which I'm sure you covered, is that public funds need to be used for the public and not for anything else. I think also the point that you're making about Herman Mashaba when he was mayor of Joburg, he was a DA mayor then, he had the ability to do it. It's not to say that Action SA will have the ability to do it in our local government. So I think those parallels do need to be drawn, and we will always monitor wherever we can any form of corruption going forward.
I think, look, the Democratic Alliance has done remarkably well, considering that there are, I think, just three wards out of all of the available wards in Guadaguza that are Democratic held. Are they four, Jack? Sorry about that. So you're completely outnumbered, generally speaking, and despite that, you have been able to get some things done, which is great. It can't be easy. The question is, remaining as we are, if you take four more, if you hang on to the four Democratic Alliance wards that you've already got, and possibly even win another couple, here's hoping. It's still very much a minority party in an arena that is full of currently ANC issues, without going into detail. And I think therein lies the frustration that many voters have, that we keep voting for a party that we believe in, but when there are issues to debate and discuss, the message that comes back is, look, we're doing our best, and you are, but so few on the ground and get outvoted at every turn, it's kind of pointless in a sense.
It's completely out. They are outnumbered many times.
So that's the question. Is it pointless?
I don't believe it is, Dave. I really and truly don't believe it is. I don't believe you can ever just throw your hands up in the air and say, oh, well, there's no point. We're outnumbered. We're never going to get anywhere with this.
Okay, so if you guys come back in this current election strong and blue and proud, etc., what's going to change?
When you say strong and blue and proud,
you're going to hold on to your awards, maybe take a few extra.
Yeah. So then definitely what we will do is we would like to see some form of change in how our local structures work.
Okay, we all want to see change. Yes. So what is going to happen if you – let's for argument's sake, you've won the election. Congratulations. What are you going to do now? Change is what we're looking for.
Change. We will get the job done.
Job?
The job of local governments.
Okay, can you just – one thing that you could change right now, what would it be? Any of you can answer that.
We're going to come to you, Jack. Don't worry. I know you're sitting quietly in the corner, but we're going to be definitely coming to you shortly. It's just that, Tammy, you've been in government, local government, for some time, so you've got the experience to be able to answer the questions.
Okay. So the one thing that I think is we are desperately in need of, certainly within our local municipality, is an increase in response time. And also, so if a member of the public, doesn't matter which business unit they're dealing with, they must know that they're going to get an answer. Whether they like the answer or not is a different story, but they must know that they can get a response. And currently what we have in our municipality is we have phones that ring unanswered, email trails that go on for up to 6 months, 2 years, without anybody actually taking accountability for it. So that is one thing I would really, really, really like to see. And another thing I'd really like to see is a tightening up on our fleet management service, because our fleet management affects all service delivery issues. It affects your street lights, it affects your roads, it affects your refuse verge maintenance and all the rest of it. So that's what I'd really like to see.
I think we'd all like to see that, but can you deliver on those promises or those issues?
Well, if we were the majority government, then we would.
Okay, but you're not going to be the majority, I don't think, because you're only standing in how many wards in this election?
We have a candidate in every ward.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
See what I know about these things. So you could actually, if you had a landslide victory, you could change things literally on the first.
That's what I... on the second.
On the second. So it's not impossible. And what about a coalition between you and another party or parties? Is that a possibility, to take the local municipality?
Absolutely. I'm not going to talk too much about coalitions, but we are, our leader has made it perfectly clear that we are open to a coalition, but it will be a working agreement. It's not going to be, these are the people who we're going to talk to and who we're going to vote with. It will be a working agreement.
I think we're in the age now of coalition politics.
Correct.
Going forward, so it's going to be the new normal game.
And it's obviously got to be with political parties who have the same values as the Democratic Alliance.
Well, the Democratic Alliance certainly does get things done. The Western Cape is an example of that. There's a lot of movement towards an independent Western Cape now. That was launched, I believe, this week past, the manifesto for the independence of the Western Cape. I think it would be a disaster for South Africa if that goes ahead, but nonetheless, it does show that a Democratic alliance-run area works, and that's fantastic. We'd love to see something working here, no matter,
What I loved about the DA's manifesto was the take on electricity, they're doing the pilot projects and how they're going to move away from Eskom, who is at the moment not living up to the standard it should be delivering and putting it into independent supply. So that is going to be interesting to watch, I think, if that unfolds. Obviously, our electricity has gone up 400% in the last 10 years. And it's as unstable as it's ever been.
In fact, everything has gone up. Rates, electricity, everything has gone north except for salaries.
Correct.
So is that part of your plan of action to try and bring some sort of stability to what is becoming a very, very contentious issue, that of increased rates out of all proportion?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's something that is it's near and dear to everybody. And I think... something, if you're paying for a service, you don't mind paying for the service if you're giving the service. So I think that comes back to actually getting the basics right.
Okay.
And once you get the basics right, people actually don't mind paying for a service that works. So if you are going to a car wash, for argument's sake, and you get good service, and it costs 100 rand or 120 rand, you'll pay for it. But if you take a car to a car wash, and you're paying 120 rand, and the inside is not cleaned, or the windscreen hasn't been cleaned, people will be unhappy. It's a natural thing.
Mm. Let's introduce Jack Abrams. You're a newcomer on the political scene, Jack. In fact, you're a new entity for many folk in Ballito, because you are a relative newcomer to the area. I think you've arrived around about 2010, and you've had a very interesting intro, shall we say. I don't know much about you. I don't think many people do, but the little bit I do know is that you've overcome some extreme difficulties to get to where you are today. So let's find out who Jack Abrams is. I notice your election posters call you Fagmi.
Fagmi, yes.
Fagmi.
Yes, that's
right. So is that your given name?
That's my real name, yes. My grandfather gave me.
It sounds like
Malay.
It is, indeed.
Just like my awesome curries.
Okay. So tell us, who is Jack Fagmi Abrams?
I'm originally from Cape Town, where the DA obviously ruled and governed, and I came here 2010, yes, moving around, working here and there, and always getting involved in projects, even when I was on the beach every day, neighborhood watch, the then committee would always come to me, and I would ask me for assistance in this, and eventually I ended up on the committee. Today I'm the longest serving Neighborhood Watch committee. Always getting involved into projects, beach cleanups, Saturday nights Neighborhood Watch patrols, and
you've definitely got involved in stuff. But what is your background? Where do you're obviously from the Cape?
Yes. Did schooling there, matriculated, did electrical engineering, like current, and yes, worked a bit in. I worked at my first job was actually Dimension Data. Yes, and then I went on to Engine, and then mostly worked at Old Mutual and Metropolitan Health Group, yes.
So then what made you move to Ballito?
I'm the black sheep of the family, yes. So after my grandfather passed away, I just packed up, took my stuff and left, yeah. And then I came here and still doing what I've been doing then, getting involved in the communities, in the sports, and yeah.
So are you an electrical engineer by profession?
No. I just did until about, I think, N4 or 5, yeah. Then I didn't pursue that, and then I went into networking, working for Dimension Data.
That was in Cape Town?
That was in Cape Town, correct.
Okay, so then you arrived in Ballito 2010. What was your plan when you arrived here?
Just to rebuild and to get where I am today, and pretty much that's what happened then, yeah. I had faith in myself, belief in myself, and, I rebuilt.
Okay. So, Ward 30, have you had a look around? Who are you representing, if you represent Ward 30? What is your constituency, the split?
So, it's the old 21, so it's the south side of Ballito Drive, including Zimbali, Seaward Estate, up until Manners, including Shorten, Skeleton Estate, and part of Compensation. That is the constituency of
my
ward.
Does a P445 fall under your ward? It's by Caledon, hey?
Yes, it does.
Jack, I've got a question for you. If you were given for your ward 5 million rand right now, where would you put it right now? If you've done an assessment of the ward, where would you put it and why?
Well, first of all, I know the residents in Townsend is asking for some fencing in Townsend Park, because the cars are always going up in there and damaging the grass. And then I know locals are also complaining that we need affordable schooling. Not everyone can afford the likes of Ashton and Crawford, so perhaps affording schooling.
Is the land available for that?
Well, that's the other thing. We don't have much government land, and I think other than Townsend Park, but we know what happened a few years ago.
That issue is still on the go, hey?
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to fall into your ward should you become the ward councillor. What is the status with that attempted land grab, I'm calling it provocatively a land grab? It was apparently a deal done, a very strange deal done in local government circles to sell a portion of Townsend Park to an organization that wanted to erect a place of worship there. What is the status with it at this point? Do we know?
There's been no further movement on it.
Has the sale been cancelled?
No. Nothing's been cancelled. No council decisions have been rescinded.
So it's still been sold, because I believe it had been sold.
No, it's not been sold. It is just in limbo. So what had happened previously, in fact, I picked it up within my portfolio as I saw that there had been an application for a change of zoning or whatever it is, and I raised it then and there, and I said it can't be because it hasn't gone through the public participation processes. We've never seen anything from the Gazette saying that this is going to be sold. So it actually has been, the entire process has been halted, and as far as I'm aware, it is sitting on the MM's desk.
Okay, so it's for that's an interesting cause célèbre that you could get behind immediately, I would imagine. Make sure that disappears completely, because public open space should be non-negotiable. You can create so much in a built environment, but when it comes to public open space, this is the green lungs of your community. Mm. And once they're gone, they're gone. You can't get them back.
And I know the ANC's manifesto, when Cyril Ramaphosa presented it yesterday, he was quite clear for rejuvenation projects to take place. And he basically did say public parks need to be rejuvenated. So
you mean rejuvenated as in places of urban settlement?
No, it was for public use.
Oh, really? To rejuvenate the parks for the original usage?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Because
it addresses social ills. So you give your kids, your youth, somewhere to go and play and create a family environment. And I'll give you a very good example.
But now this is the president of South Africa, but who's also the president of the ANC, talking about this as an ANC project.
No, it was part of their manifesto, which he presented yesterday, the ANC's manifesto.
Okay.
Yeah, as the ruling party, this is
so
what they would do.
So you have a common manifesto in that sense, do you? DA and the ANC agree with the issue of public open space?
Clearly.
Very good. There's agreement coming.
It's a common ground,
thick and fast.
Yeah.
First time ever.
Well, I think there's so many that are in agreement. I mean, basic service delivery. Everybody's saying it. Doesn't matter what political party you're from.
Yeah.
I think the hot buttons at the moment.
The difference is though that we've heard for 27 years the ANC making all sorts of proclamations on all sorts of issues, primarily that they're going to get really tough on corruption, etc., etc. And, well, yeah, what you do thunders so loud I can't hear what you say anymore. And that's a bit of a political mantra, I think, all across the board. So getting back to this local election on the 1st, Tammy, you are obviously expecting to be re-elected.
Well, I am working to get re-elected. Nothing's certain in politics.
What are the biggest threats to being re-elected in Ward 6?
I think there is definitely a certain... Let me make it clear. You know, in our campaigning, we've had a fantastically positive reaction, to be perfectly honest. But I think in any election, you're always going to get this level of apathy. You get voter apathy, where people, as you said earlier, I've been voting, and nothing's changed. So there is that. There is always that risk. But...
So what are you doing to counter that risk?
Well, I think that if people can look back at and everything that we've achieved, well, certainly in Ballito and Salt Rock, I think people can see that they have got a councillor who they are able to get hold of. If you phone me, I'll answer my phone. And that's a big thing with local councillors, because you are the first port of call for any person in the community.
And in absolute fairness, I will say that you have been very, very good on that score. In fact, most of the DA councillors have been extremely responsive to community when the need has arisen, and it's arisen frequently. I think safe to say that the Democratic Alliance is well represented in this region, and certainly Ward 6 is a DA stronghold. My fear is that with new parties entering the fray, there could well be a split of votes because there is the issue of a new kid on the block that's promising all sorts of excitement. And I think my question to them when they were in was, is it not going to simply whittle away at the official opposition's numbers and create two weak parties and allow then the dominant existing incumbent, the ruling party, to simply stay de facto the ruling party?
So, Dave, actually, I completely agree with you. But it also doesn't take away every single person's right to vote for who they want to vote for.
But presumably, you don't want anyone to vote for
anyone else. Oh, obviously not. Obviously not. No. I want our voters to stay loyal to us. I think one thing that really came out to me, and it was emphasized over and over again in the manifesto launch, was the Democratic Alliance is the only party that has a track record of delivery in the municipalities that they've run.
But so do black voters really come on board? And this is a big question, because the Democratic Alliance definitely does get things done in areas where there is homogeneity, not so much in the rural areas, not so much in black politics dominated areas. Why is that?
I think we do have a problem that, and I think it's across all political parties, that they have to break a new ground on where their strengths are and grow their voter base. Okay. And that's across every single political party. It doesn't matter which one. I'm not going to mention all the different political parties. I don't want to give them too much air. But we are campaigning throughout Quadaguza, and even in Mapamulu and in Dwedwe, we've had a massive growth there.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know,
everyone I've spoken to, every single party has told me how big the response has been and how strong the attraction is for what they have to offer. Well, this is politics, I'm sure.
It's everyone politics.
You've got to be optimistic.
And yet, when I'm on the ground, you know how many of the marginalized communities have said that local government has not been responsive to the needs of the community, and yet they've never seen, some of them don't even know who the ward councillor is, and then during the election trail, all of a sudden they are getting food parcels and all sorts of, you know, gifts. I don't want to call them gifts, but possibly, yeah.
You just did.
But I did.
So are you campaigning on the campaign trail? I mean, it's a month to go. Have you been knocking on doors and kissing babies, things like that?
Well, I kissed your grandson.
Thank you. You got his vote in about 18 years' time.
Yeah, we obviously are campaigning. We've got a number of different ways that we do campaign. But, we are on the campaign trail. There's certain areas where certain things work, and we know works in certain areas. Yeah. That's how we are campaigning.
In your campaign at the moment, I see you put up these posters. Look very good. I saw Jack out yesterday putting up his own posters. That's very good. Did you put up yours, Tammy?
I didn't put all of them up, no.
Are you putting... They're still on the...
There's too many.
Okay. Well, we've got to get going. There's a month to go. Jack.
Yes.
Are you out and about? What has the response been so far?
Yes, Dave, I've been out and about doing my own work. I'm putting up my own posters with my work. I've been calling for most of my voters are in gated estates, so I'm having a bit of an issue there. I've approached two or three of their managers to get in there, but most of my people are behind gated estates, Sambali's and Seaward Estate. So I have been calling them and organizing them special votes to come in the Saturday, the Sunday before the elections.
I want to ask you about the special votes. Can anyone apply for a special vote? Or do you have to be aged and infirm?
Predominantly for anyone over the age of 60.
Okay, so aged and infirm.
Yeah. Over the age of 60, if you're pregnant, if you're not well, if you're not able to get to the voting station.
Okay, so there are conditions, and if you fall into categories like over 16, et cetera, you... How does one apply
so,
for a special vote?
So your councillor or your candidate that you're going to vote for, he or she, we will do the application for you. They will get an SMS, and then they just go the Saturday or the Sunday before the elections with their ID between 8 and 5 to the IEC station that they registered to vote, and they go and cast their vote.
So it's as simple as that?
Yes, Dave. And okay. if they can't get there, and then where's the councillor? We'll go pick them up. I already have one lady that I have to go pick up on the Saturday for her to cast a vote.
Be a bit of a problem if you pick her up and she votes for someone else, but you wouldn't know that. That's the way it goes. No. It's all fair in love and war, except in politics, of course, nothing is fair.
Sorry,
Dave. I've heard that. Can I just ask this one question? I've heard some worrying concerns about people being registered in that particular ward that don't live in that particular ward. Have you come across that?
Yes, I see the ANC, they were coming there with, they were busing in people, and when I questioned the IC about it, they were like, no, they're having problems at other voting stations, registration systems are offline, can't get network, so they're registering here, but they're going to be voting at their ward where they're staying.
Okay, so you're keeping a watchful eye, because that is something that is of concern.
100%.
Good. Good for you. Sorry, Tammy, I interrupted you.
I just wanted to mention that with regards to the special votes, just the same as for registration weekend, you can do it online on the IEC's website. You are able to do that, but a lot of people find it a little bit intimidating, especially the elderly folk, and that's
those over the age of 60. No, I'm just smiling because I am in that category. I don't feel aged, and I'm yet eligible for a special vote. I refuse. I will be in the queue.
Well, you don't. I promise you right now, you can't believe how many people say, no, I'm going out. I love it. Yeah, it's an outing.
Exactly.
It's a bit of fun.
When I was doing my posters and people were, I was chatting with people, and I'm like, you can't come for a special vote. They're like, no, don't worry. We'll stand in the queue on voters' day.
It is a bit of a fun, sort of almost carnival-like atmosphere at the election booths. What goes on inside those tents? I've always wanted to know. You have a little gazebo with ANC, with DA. Well, they're all there. ANC, DA, I'm sure Action SA is going to be. What happens in those individual tents?
So, obviously, every single voting station will be different. And those front of houses, if you want to, this is what we call them. We have a list of the voters' roll once it's been inspected, because that process still has to unfold. We have a list of that, and then it's generally a fairly good idea. When you see how many people are going to which tents, you can generally gauge where the majority of people or how the majority of people are going to vote. It's not 100% guaranteed, but it gives us a fair amount of information to see if there's anything we need to do if our voters are not coming out on election day.
So if you give away T-shirts and food hampers and stuff at your tent, you're going to get a very good turnout.
Normally it's biryani.
Okay. Are you going to be there with the biryani? What time? I'll be there, make sure.
But you aren't actually allowed to have your party's, brands around the voting stations, as I understand.
No, what happens is the IEC will demarcate a boundary to the actual voting station, and then outside that boundary is where all the political parties are. And then... in theory, there's supposed to be no campaigning.
That's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Just in terms of, the political unrest, the army still deployed. I know they have taken residence at, I think last time I heard that they were actually at Darnell Country Club as well. They're in, have been positioned around the province as well. Have you got a plan? Is there anything that local government has put together, like a disaster management plan, anything that you've been privy to?
Privy? No, I haven't been privy to anything along those lines. But there's no doubt about it that there is the potential of having some unrest. I think we all know that there was a bit of unrest and unhappiness in Ward 4 just a few days ago. So there's definitely a possibility that something along those lines could happen. So what we will do is we will bring it up with the municipality, because unfortunately that is also disaster management is one of the units that really does need to have a stronger presence and not just deal with shack fires, etc. They've got to be there and capacitated in order to respond.
Well, all I can say is that, like so many things in life, it's a huge amount of work that goes into what you do. And most folk don't get to see that. They just get to see the slogans and the photographs on the wall or on the posters. And but I know that you both of you putting in a lot of work towards this campaign, and I wish you lots of success, because in this country of ours there's huge potential. It's been somewhat stifled by appalling mismanagement over the past many years, and change is due, and I believe change is in the wind. I applaud you guys for standing firm in difficult circumstances. I know that there is, of course, always uncertainty politically in our beloved country. It's a country where the best never happens, but then neither does the worst. So somewhere in between, we just carry on and keep calm and carry on, I think, is a slogan that's been overused. But right now, I would imagine in the ranks of the Democratic Alliance, it's what you've got to do. Is keep calm, carry on, fight the good fight. And there are no doubt many listening to this right now that are cheering you on and will be making their mark where it counts on the 1st of November. I wish you both success. Thanks for joining us on the afternoon show.
Thank you, Dave.
And well, don't be strangers. You're still 4 weeks to go. If anything pops up that needs to be announced, you're most welcome to join us again and to continue the conversation. Our very special guest, Jack Fahmy
Abrams,
Ward 30, and Tamsin Colley, Ward 6, both Democratic Alliance candidate, Jack's candidate councillor. Tammy, you're our councillor, and long may that remain the case.
Thank you so much for having us, Dave. Once again, we do appreciate it.
It's a great pleasure. Time now is 11 minutes to 4 o'clock, and the music continues on Radio Life and Styles Afternoon Show.